Good morning. I have good news for bad people and bad news for good people. What do you want first? You want bad news first or good news first? Bad news, raise your hand. Good news first, raise your hand.
I think Gabe knows all the answer to this.
Huh?
No.
You do, don't you?
I think you told me this about.
Okay.
That's why I'm not raising my hand. I get some trap.
The good news for bad people is the grace of God is big enough to cover you. The bad news for good people is there is no good people. So if you were thinking, if you were waiting for the good stuff, good boy bus, then you're probably, you need some help.
Brad, you're in the right spot.
All right. Very relaxed today. I have a lot in my head, but this isn't a typical sermon. I don't even know that it is a sermon. It's more of a archaeological finding archaeologically. I'm probably not an archaeologist. We're going to do a lot of reading, which is a little crazy for me. I have lots of thoughts in my head. I'll just share them with you. It's really informative this morning. So turn to Exodus chapter 18. I find this interesting. I didn't plan on, it's just funny how these things come about. Would I tell you what chapter 18?
Yeah.
It's just funny how these things pop up. Like I don't remember the last time I preached here, but like a week or so ago, Mindy and I are talking, and then this story comes up about Moses, and it's like there's a sermon in there, and then I didn't think anything else about it, and then lo and behold, the week goes on, and I was traveling a lot, and this just comes up. So anyways, in the last 48 hours, I feel like I get this download from the spirit realm. However, I could be wrong about that, and I'll explain that before I'm done. Like, I could be totally wrong about all this. And so let's just go. All right, now Jethro, the priest of Midian, the father-in-law of Moses, heard everything God had done for Moses for his people in Israel and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons, and the sons were named Gershom, for Moses said, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. And the father and the other's name was Eliezer, for he said, my father God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. So Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness where they camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you, to your wife, and to her two sons. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him and greeted each other. They greeted each other, and they went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for the Israelites' sake and about the hardships they met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. So, little background here. This is when Moses is leading all the people out of Pharaoh, out of Egypt. And apparently, he sent his wife and two sons back to their homeland and said, hey, it's going to be a wild ride. You guys, I'm going to be in the middle of all this. Why don't you go take a break and go back and be, probably for safety reasons. I mean, obviously, they were being pursued by an army. The Red Sea happened, all that's going on. Well, after a while they're out in the desert, Jethro, the father-in-law, brings his wife and his two sons out to meet him to see him because things seemed like they'd calmed down, and he tells him about all the stuff that God had done. Think about the pillar by night, the cloud by day, the feeding, the rock, the water coming out of the rock, the Red Sea, all these things that happened, and he's like, God's with me, like Jethro. So they're kind of celebrating a little bit. So Jethro was delighted to hear about the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and the Pharaoh and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know the Lord is greater than all other gods. So he was in a foreign land. He wasn't of the tribe of, he wasn't part of the kingdom. So everybody else worshipped all kinds of gods. And Jethro's making a point here to say, I see that your God's bigger than anything I got. Okay? That has nothing to do with my sermon, but I just thought it was interesting. So anyways, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and others sacrificed to God. And sacrificed to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. So they're celebrating. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all this Moses was doing to the people, he said, "What is it this you're doing for the people? Why are you alone sit as judge? Why all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What are you doing? What you're doing is not good. You and these people you and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way that they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people all the times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves, that will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand in the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men, all of Israel, and made them leaders and the people's officials over thousands, hundreds, and fifties, and tens. They served as judge for the people all the times in the difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. And Moses sent his father-in-law away, and Jethro returned to his own country. I thought there'd be some explanation coming into this, and I thought there'd be some explanation coming out of it, but it's right in the middle. And basically, this is business 101. Okay? So this is the first government basically set up that says, hey, you can't do this. Like, it's not good. I tried to find where God sent Jethro. Did God send Jethro? Did God inspire Jethro to tell him this? Did God say, tell Moses after Jethro left? Is it good or bad? Like, I don't know. Like, I still don't know the answer to that. But I know that this government was set up, and I know that scaling anything in business or in the kingdom of God, there needs to be a government. There has to be controls. There has to be some. This is a system that God puts in place. And so we do this at work. Like if I had to answer every question that came up in our organization every day, that would be a pain. And so the point is that you set people over tens, you set people over, and that's a business transaction, right? It's government. So whose idea is government? Is it Jethro's or God's? I don't know. But I'm telling you that I see that scaling is problematic in anything. So Jesus had 12 disciples. Then there was 70. Then there was 5,000 people. And there's a point where you're limited to what you can do. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there has to be a governmental process to business or stuff. So does the kingdom of God have government? Does it have a structured system? Well, let's find out. So in Isaiah chapter, I have to open up my notes. I think it's chapter 9. Hold on a second. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 36. That's bad. That's really bad if it's not there. Well, I'll just say the verse, because it's only a one verse, and you guys will finish it. Unto you a child is born, and the...
Verse 6.
Very good. My fat fingers hit 3 and 6 at the same time. How's that possible, Brad? Do you know? Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Okay? So we know who that's talking about, right? Who's that talking about? Jesus is going to be born. And a government is going to be on his shoulders, which means government. What is on somebody's shoulders? Huh? What's the number one thing that's on our shoulders we cannot live without? Your head. Okay? So on his shoulders is the government of the kingdom of God, Christ, head. So everybody has a head on top of their shoulders. Okay? So there is a government to the kingdom of God, and the every government has a pinnacle, peak, where the government is raining down from a certain source. Okay? That source at work is Nick and I, whoever owns the company, or that source is the President of the United States, or that source is the Queen of England, or whatever. So whatever government there is, there's always a point, and it rains down from there, goes back to Moses. Moses says, Jethro says to Moses, you can't do all this. That's going to be a problem. You need to divide and conquer, and you got to have people. So the only way to have government is to have other people involved, so that the top of the pinnacle. So you think, well, Jesus don't need people. Yes, he does. We're going to prove it here in a minute. That we are in a laboring program with God in his kingdom. And it's not that he's weak or that he doesn't have power. This is what he chose. And the reason he chose it is because in his government, you have to be in commune with him to even function in it. Like you have to be with him. So we're trapped in two things here. First of all, when you become a Christian, you're trapped in a relationship with God, and we're trapped in a relationship with each other. Because without those two things, the government breaks down of the kingdom, and there is no advancement of the kingdom. Okay? So, let's go to, let's do a lot of reading. And I'm not very good at reading. What's that?
Where does Brandon stand with God?
Jim, we're just going to leave that alone. I'll let God work that out, Jim. Okay, actually, that's going to play right into where we're going. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, when I urge you to live a life worthy of calling you have received, but be completely humble. Be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit. Judge as you were called to one hope when you were called, and one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascend mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up into until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people in the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together, and every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, I never ever seen this like this in this light. Do you know what the government of the kingdom of God is? You know what the government offices are? Like Congress, like the House, like district. You know what the breakdown blueprint of the government of the kingdom of God is? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Christ is the head. I just said it. The government, now, I'm subjecting this to you. I don't know that I'm right. I'm telling you, I'm drawing lines between things. Okay? Do you know what this book does? So let's just go through them before I go there. Apostles, one who sets order. Apostle Paul goes around writing letters to the churches. Here's what you're doing right, here's what you're doing wrong. Setting order. That's out of order. You shouldn't be doing that. Don't do that like that. Do this. Do this. He set order. That's all he did. He went around and he wrote, and he encouraged them, but he also reprimanded them, and he told them he was setting order. That's what an apostle does. God has an apostolic thing on people who set order. A prophet. So a prophet comes along, and he prophesies. He gets a word from God, and he speaks that into existence, and he foretells things that are going to the future. And he predicts where we're going and gives context to what's happening around us. That's what a prophet does. Evangelist is a soul winner. He goes around and all he thinks about is souls, all the unsaved. He's got to preach the gospel, got to preach the gospel, got to preach the gospel. Then there's a pastor, a shepherding, a loving of people. People need love. People are hurting. People need comforted. There's a shepherding part called a pastor. Then there's a teacher that's just instructional. Like, hey, I got some information. We're just going to sit down. We're going to go through it, and we're going to teach it. And so here's what I will tell you. Let me say it this way. Apostles, the only apostolic is if order's being set. You can call yourself an apostle all day long, but if you're not giving the apostolic message to go set order from God, then order won't be set. And if you're not given a word from God, you can't prophesy. And if you're not given the spirit of evangelism, nobody's going to get saved. And if you're not given the spirit of pastoring, nobody's going to feel comforted. And if you're not given the spirit of teaching, nobody's going to be taught. Okay? So the reality is, we're in this system together, okay? And there is an apostolic, and there is a prophetic, and there is an evangelist, and these things are the government of the kingdom of God. And the problem is they're gifts given to us from God, okay, that are connected to His Spirit, and they only function correctly through His Spirit, but by golly, we do a good job of mixing other stuff, okay? So that's where the problems come in. The problem comes in that if I know that Josie prophesies to me and she comes in, she gives me some prophetic, she leaves, and I don't just guarantee that I just heard from the Holy Spirit, do I? Why? Because we've got it wrong before. I promise you, I have evangelized and nobody got saved. That's not evangelism. Okay? That was a good message from Gabe that didn't lead anybody to Christ. Okay, that's evangelism. That's not evangelism. The point is that those five things are trying to lead us to a place of fullness, to a maturity. Why? Why do we need led to maturity? Because we're immature. Because as a body, we're immature and we're broken. And we don't have it right. And I think that to start to fix that would be to understand that. And if I have a message today, is this. You're probably wrong. Okay, that's what I was saying. This might be wrong. I don't know that what I'm saying is right. I might be wrong. I have to be willing to be wrong, number one. I don't have this wrote down. I'm just telling you, this is where tension comes from. How much of what we just read, and we'll read some more here in a minute, what was the main context of what we just read? Unity, love. Okay? He goes on and he says, I gave you these five gifts, but make sure you be graceful with one another. Make sure you do it in love. Make sure that you give space for each other. The whole chapter is about giving space to each other. And then it says here, there's five gifts in the middle that if you function with them and let the head actually work through them, it'll make you mature. Which means you need all those. Which means those gifts were not those gifts were not given to, those gifts were given to us for perfecting, but they were given to people, which means we have to coexist with one another. But I got to know that you're right. I can promise you, him and I have had spirited debates about what the Holy Spirit's saying. Like, no different than disagreeing about what pipe to put in. Because he'll say, the Holy Spirit said this, and I'll say, didn't say that to me. I've had people come to me and say they come to me with a word from God about my life. And quite frankly, it wasn't. And then there's times where somebody does, and I don't think it is, and I find out later that it was. Why is all that, why is it like that? Why has it got to be so difficult? I can tell you why. Because you're in the system. And the only way to figure it out is to get with God. He set it up. And it's messy. What was the whole pretense for government? What's the pretense for government? Order. Why? Because people don't get along. Everybody was fighting. That's why Moses is sitting there every day from sun up to sundown. His father-in-law, that's not good. Her and I fighting last night. She's only home for 2 days. We spend the last 2 hours fighting. What are we fighting about? We're not fighting about pizza. We're fighting about spiritual things. She's in my bedroom trying to tell me something last night. I'm not having it. I don't agree with her. Okay? Right?
She's a lot like you.
I agree. What I'm saying is that the kingdom of God is functioning through these gifts. This is interesting. This book will set order in your life. This book will prophesy to you in your life. This book will comfort you. This book will evangelize you. This book will teach you. All five things are in this book. You know why? Because this book is, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is Jesus. He became flesh. Jesus functions perfectly in all five of these things. But he gives these gifts to us. He gives pieces of himself to us. And then he connects us to the vine, to the feet of it. And then all of that flows together for the perfecting of the saints, because we're not perfect. And we're not going to be. And it's going to be messy. And I'm teeing this up for what this church has been experiencing, because a lot of times, most churches, I believe, and I'm not saying this about all, I'm talking about the church abroad, is being led by one of these offices. There are many apostles out there calling themselves pastors. They're not pastors. They're apostles, and they got a group of people that they're setting order with all the time. It's not good. It's not bad. It's only in part. It's only in part. We are only in part. On your best day, you're only in part. Nick, Chris, and Gabe are in business together. I'd even throw Brad into this. For those of you who don't know, my number one sitting right there. He's not my number one. He's my number one. Yeah. At work.
He only said that when you're here.
Yeah.
Hey, I can testify.
Yeah, so... We don't agree a lot. Like, I would bet you we disagree more than we agree. And you're like, what? How can you guys be in business for 30 years? I'm telling you, if I wrote five subjects down on that whiteboard, and we brought Chris in here, and we said, you're going to answer all five of these things, and then you're going to bring Gabe in here, we're going to answer all five of these, and we're going to bring Nick in here and answer all five of these things, I guarantee you there won't be very few things on their match. We don't agree. We don't agree a lot. Am I? And it causes major conflict. Why the heck would you do that every day? Why would we do that every day? Why would we do that every day for 30 years? I'll tell you why. One simple thing. We believe we're stronger together than we are apart. We think we can go farther together than we do apart. That's it. That's because it's made that way. The kingdom of God's made that way. I promise you. On your best day, if you're the number one apostle, you are not as good as if you add one other person to that in the kingdom of God. We have to be together. We have to bring all the pieces together. We are wrong. mostly. But our peace is so valuable to the actual reality of what's going on that it actually advances the kingdom of God forward, just like business. I don't agree. He doesn't agree with how I would run a job. Brad and I had passionate conversations this week about how we're going to do things, did we not? The point is that we're not agreeing, but that's not what it's about. We're not here to agree. We're here to move something forward and to get more than we could get on our own, and that's how the kingdom of God is set up. There's another one. Let's move over to 1 Corinthians. More gay breeding. I should have a reader work for me. 1 Corinthians what? Chapter 12. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that you were pagans. Somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them and everyone is the same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given a spirit of a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguished and between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, okay, so He goes through all that, right? Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized into one Spirit, as so to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, whether we are given one Spirit to drink, even so the body is not made up of one part, but of many parts. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in the fact that God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, in just as He wanted them to be, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it were, there are many parts, but one body. And it goes on and on, right? Why is he going through all this? What? Because out of everything that I have talked about today, the number one thing is God's trying to keep together is us. Because I am an evangelist at heart. Now, let me explain that. I am not an evangelist. I am not an evangelist. Okay? I have a gift of evangelism that I operate in. But I can jack that thing all up sideways. Like I can have that thing totally jacked up. The talents, the one talent, the two talents, and then the five talents. So Jesus comes, He tells a parable. He gives a talent, one talent, two. I might have the numbers wrong. Huh? What was it?
I think
it's one. What was it? Anyways, the top guy doubles it and comes back. He had 10 talents when he came back. Guess what? Guess when the owner of the vineyard came back, he said what? Where's my stuff? They weren't their talents. They were gifts given to them, and they multiplied them. Okay? But they weren't theirs. Like, the gift that God's given you is not yours. So here's where we get screwed up. A prophet thinks he's a prophet, so he tries to prophesy outside of when the Spirit of God is influencing him to prophesy. We watch this happen. We watch an apostle come in, and he thinks he's going to set order. There are apostles. There's people trying to set order. Go to YouTube. They're trying to set order all the time, and they're in direct conflict with another apostle. One guy's saying it should look like this. Another guy's saying it should look like this. And these two things are in direct conflict with one another. Somebody's wrong. Right? The point is that we're jacked up, and it's okay. But we can't fall apart because we're jacked up. And that's the challenge. And it is a challenge. It's very challenging. And all I'm doing is setting the stage for what we're going to be going, because I believe that the body of Christ is going to come into maturity, because it has to come into maturity. It has to come into some kind of form of what it actually looks like to advance the kingdom of God. And it's going to be messy because we're not going to get along. Really, we're not going to get along. But it's okay. Because we, let me say it this way, we are going to get along. We're not going to agree. There are going to be times where, like, I'll just use this as an example. The thing in the park, was that of God? I don't know. I'm willing to go do it. I'll do it again 10 times. I don't know. A barnstormer event, we go speak at a barnstormer event. Did it move the ball at all? I don't know. I'm willing to go do another barn. I'm willing to be wrong to figure out what's going on. I do think something happened at the park. I do think something happens at Barnstormer. I can't always visually see what that is. And just because I can't see it doesn't mean something didn't happen, but just because I think something happened doesn't mean something happened either. Like, we could be wrong. How do I know we can be wrong? Because this thing's telling us that if everything was just so clear, we'd all be high-fiving and having a parade all the time and having a fair all the time. This thing spends two chapters talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and it spends most of both those chapters in two different places in the Bible talking about unity and love. And it gets down to the end here, and if it goes into verse 13, and it says, "And I show you the most excellent way, if I speak in tongues of men and angels and do not have love, I am just a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal." I can function perfectly in my apostolic or my prophetic or my evangelistic or my pastor or my teacher, but if I don't have love, it's junk. It's junk. Why? Because the gift was for you and for me, and you have something for me, and I have something for you, and the gifts were given to us to give to each other to perfect us, and if we don't have love, the whole system breaks down. So we can't get offended, even though we don't agree. Like, I live this every day. We live it. It's marriage. It's life. We know it, right? But to our families, we disagree with our families all the time, but we stay committed to them. Because you're stuck. We're stuck in this thing. So, I don't have a lot more, other than we're stuck. Okay. So, but I mean, the reality is these people, 3 million people from sun up to sundown, were talking to Moses, like, hey, go ahead.
Tells us it's worth the fight to get to that idea, because it doesn't just always emerge right there. But you have to value that. You have to value that,
yes,
to get through the turmoil. Otherwise, you'll just sit in the turmoil and you'll never get to that new idea.
Fair. Anybody else have anything?
Disagreement.
What's that?
So even though there's disagreement, there's,
yeah,
disagreement.
Correct.
So that's the key.
So most people don't understand that, honestly. Most people don't know how to do that.
What's your goal?
What's the goal? The goal really comes down to, God's got a kingdom he wants to advance. Go ahead.
Psalm 133, you're talking about union or unity. It says where there's unity, God commands a blessing. It doesn't just fall on you. He commands that when there's unity.
Yeah. It's good. I have a little clip. I have an Instagram clip because Ray was surfing Instagram last night.
Yeah.
What? So this is interesting. We'll talk about it in a minute. You don't need to see it as much as you need to hear it.
What I've discovered is that not only is discovering God's will not difficult, it's actually so easy that most people have done it without realizing it. Let me give you an example. The Apostle Paul, you know, he's talking about singleness. He's a single man.
Right.
And he described his singleness as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say, after he described it as a gift, he said, I wish that all men were as I am.
That's right.
In this area of singleness. So here's a really interesting thing. When God calls you to do something, when he gifts you in a certain way, that thing is so obvious to you that you think everyone else around you should be doing it.
Wow, that's so good.
But he has the wisdom, Paul, in the next verse, the wisdom to say, but each one has his own gift from God. This is one kind out of another. So there's two things. Number one, don't make the mistake of trying to force everybody around you to do what you're called to do. It's a very common mistake that people make. And very often we don't tolerate other people's gifts because we don't understand them, because they're different from us. But number two, if you want to know what God has called you to do, what is it that you think everybody else should be doing?
Mm-hmm.
If you think everybody should be an evangelist, you're probably an evangelist.
Right, right, right.
If you think everybody should be a pastor, you're probably a pastor.
I love it.
If you think everybody should have a benevolence ministry and minister to the poor or the orphans, that's probably what God has called you to do. And one of the things I've discovered not only is discovering God's will not.
So I heard that and I'm like, man, that's so right on. Like, whatever you think everybody else should be doing, probably what you're supposed to be doing. And because that's what you're passionate about. That's your gift. That's what God's given inside of you to inspire you to move the kingdom of God forward. What is the purpose of the gifts? The purpose of the gifts. To edify the body and make the body more mature. Why does the body need to be more mature? Because we need to advance the kingdom of God. Not only that, because we'll experience, when we're in the fullness, the benefits. What are the benefits? God. Remember you said this morning, you said the verse. Forget not all your benefits. Yeah. Bless. So you didn't go on. You don't go on. Okay, never mind then. There's benefits. There's benefits in the kingdom that you want, I promise you. You want them. We all want the benefits of Christianity. The problem is, we can't do it by ourselves. We have to have each other. That's why it says, don't forget the gathering of the saints. It's because we all have something for each other. And that's how we become mature, is by putting up with one another and getting the peace that we need from each other. So, I don't have it much more than that. So, stand up. Dear Father, Lord, teach us what it means to become mature through your gifts that you've given to each one of us, Lord. Help us to be gracious to one another, walk in love with one another, and stay in unity. Father, we thank you for where you're taking us, and we thank you for your vision for the kingdom and our part in it, that we even get to play a part in it. Lord, help us this week as we go forward to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.